Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. And to all of you, happy day after Mother's Day.
There you go.
One of my favorite stories, and I think you enjoy it too. Well, growing up, it was Jonah and the whale. Jonah, as you know, was an 8th century prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. God directed Jonah to Nineveh, where he was to preach repentance to the Assyrians. Well, and they were meaner than a junkyard dog. The Assyrians were evil, cruel, heartless. Did I say evil? I'll say it again. Adulterous, and yes, did I say evil? Jonah did not want to preach repentance to the Assyrians. He wanted them wiped off the face of the earth. He wanted the people of Nineveh to have a Sodom and Gomorrah experience. Needless to say, Jonah wasn't too happy about them having the opportunity to miss hell. The scripture really doesn't say why Jonah hated the Assyrians so, but he did. Now, Jonah was a prophet, but he kind of missed it when it came to foretelling what was in his future. His hatred must have been intense because he refused the assignment to Nineveh and caught the first boat out of town.
That's right.
Once again, what kind of prophet, what kind of prophet thinks he can refuse to do what God says, or that he can run away where God can't find you? Well, Jonah bought passage on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship to Tarshish.
Or somewhat thereof.
Somewhat thereof.
Jonah 1, verse 3. In the Classic Amplified, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, the most remote of the Phoenician trading places then known. So he paid the appointed fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord as his servant and minister."
No doubt, Jonah was enjoying his cruise, the activities on the Lido deck and the midnight buffet. I'm sorry, I'm having fun.
I was going to say you are so funny.
But things began to change pretty quickly. It would be nice to have a midnight buffet, though.
In Jonah 1, verse 4, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a violent tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken."
When the storms of life come up, those who may have been previously kind to you can change as quickly as the wind.
In Jonah 1, verse 5, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "Then the mariners were afraid, and each man cried to his God. And they cast the goods that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner ship, part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep." Imagine sleeping through that.
I know. If I were Jonah at that particular time, I believe I would have been in a dry corner of the ship, repenting for my disobedience to God's directions. But he didn't have a long nap. Now, he was taking a nap in the middle of the storm, and that kind of made the captain and the crew wonder about his motivation.
Jonah 3, starting back in verse 6 through 9, it says, "So the captain went down after him. 'How could you sleep at a time like this?' he shouted. 'Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives.' Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lot identified Jonah as the culprit. 'Why has this awful storm come down upon us?' they demanded. 'Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?' Jonah answered, 'I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.'"
When facing adversity, sometimes we get so caught up in the trials that we forget to look for answers. They can and will solve our problems. I remember the story of a woman driving through the mountains of North Carolina. couple winters back, when she ran into a snowstorm. She became very frightened of her circumstances. As she looked through the heavy snowfall, she made out a snowplow in front of her. The woman kept as close to the snowplow as possible. Every time the snow was so heavy that it kind of really interfered with her view of the snowplow and the road in front of her. But the woman stayed behind, even when at times the snowfall was so heavy, she almost lost her guide. After about 30 minutes, the snowplow stopped. The driver got out and walked back to the lady's car. He asked the woman where she was going. She replied she was on her way to Goldsboro, North Carolina. The driver smiled and said, "Ma'am, you're never going to get there because you've been following me because I've been plowing this parking lot here at the mall."
Oh, boy.
When facing adversity, needing answers, make sure you don't limit your search to Google or Wikipedia, where you might get some of the answers you need. When dealing with the storms of life, you need to hear from the one who made all the people.
And knows all the answers.
And knows all the answers. Here are 7 keys to finding God's answers in every adversity. 1, the obvious one. Look to God for answers first.
First. In Jonah, verse 10, carrying on, it says, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he had fled from being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet and servant, because he had told them."
Never look to a man or woman for an answer to a question that that God can answer for you. Let me say it that way.
There you go.
We were created in God's image and after his likeness. So it stands to reason that if there is a problem, we need to check the manufacturer's instruction manual first.
Hallelujah.
When we look to God, he gives us peace in the midst of every storm, no matter how intense it may be.
If we're looking to God.
That's it.
Like you said, when we look to God. In Philippians 4, verse 7 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live." This is the way it's said. "His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." I have a way of personalizing all these scriptures to my heart and mind. Isaiah 26:3 in the Classic Amplified says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." When we commit ourselves to him, lean on him, and hope confidently in him, his peace is, his peace will be there for us.
And when we put him first, it's always there.
That's right.
No question about it.
2, be honest about your situation. Did you contribute either intentionally or unintentionally to the situation that you're facing right now? In Jonah 1:11-12 in the New Living Translation says, "And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, 'What should we do to you to stop this storm?'" Can you imagine? "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." You know, when we mess up, we just have to fess up so we can get up and move on. Wow, Jonah caused some real situation there.
Yes, he did.
But in 1 John 1:7-9 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations." Wow. And then it says in verse 9, which I know you know by heart probably, "If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously, I like that, continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action. In other words, repentance is really the first step toward healing.
Number three, refrain from trying to take charge. When the sea got rough, the crew of the ship tried to solve the problem using their natural abilities. They didn't know how to seek a spiritual solution, so they tried taking matters into their own hands.
In Jonah 1, verse 13, it says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but they could not, for the sea became more and more violent against them."
When we try to solve our own problems, when we take matters into our own hands, things just seem to get worse. The technological advances of our time has made us a power up, power down generation. And if things don't work the way they're supposed to, then we feel helpless and soon aggravated.
That's certainly the way I feel on times at a computer, but when it doesn't do what I want it to do. Okay, sorry for that.
Same old
rabbit, trail. Jonah 1 verse 14 in the Living Bible says, "Then they shouted out a prayer to Jehovah, Jonah's God. Oh, Jehovah, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin and don't hold us responsible for his death. For it is not our fault. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Wow.
The crew of the ship knew things were beyond their control. So they prayed to Jehovah, Jonah's God.
Wow.
When we recognize that God has everything under control, our answer is already on the way. In the midst of life's storms, we just need to trust God.
And you know what? We won't have time to finish today. This is like the programs at this time of year where they leave you hanging, and we're going to leave you hanging today. What happened to Jonah? You'll have to tune in tomorrow.
For the finale.
That's right, to find out what happened. But you don't have to wait till next year like some of these shows do. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So hang in there, and we'll tell you what this exciting story, what happens tomorrow morning, right?
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Ah, start the week right.
That's right. Rich thoughts for breakfast.
That's it.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, that's all we ever ask. While you're at the website, check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.